Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Commenting on these words that we just read from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 6, Martin Luther wrote in his famous commentary on Galatians, it's an extended quotation, so bear with me and try to follow along with Luther's thinking. Christ, after he had redeemed us, renewed us, and made us his church, gave us no other law but the law of mutual love. A new commandment give I unto you, he said, that you love one another as I have loved you. And again, by this all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Quoting from John 13, verse 34 and 35. And Luther writes, to love is not to simply wish one another well, but for one to bear the burdens of another. That is, to bear those things which are hard to bear, which ordinarily you would not willingly bear. Therefore, Christians must have strong shoulders and solid bones so that they may be able to bear flesh, that is, the weakness of their brothers. So it's this weight of flesh, as Luther refers to it, as we see referred to in this translation that we read from Galatians chapter 6, referring to the sinful nature and all of its weaknesses. That is what our Lord and God is concerned about. That's what his apostle Paul writes about here in Galatians chapter 6, that God wants to be of concern for all of us who follow him. Something that essentially concerns us because as Christians, we bear the name of Christ upon us. And throughout our lives on earth, we contend with and we bear with the flesh, that is, with the sinful nature, with the sinful nature that dwells in ourselves, and we struggle against the sinful nature and its inclination to sin and temptation. And we also must bear with the sinful natures of one another as we interact with each other in our daily lives. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we have been crucified with Christ. Through the waters of holy baptism, we have been connected with Jesus, with his death on the cross and with his resurrection to new life. This crucifixion of our sinful flesh, together with our sinless Lord Jesus on the cross, is renewed among us each day when we read God's word and when we hear the good news of forgiveness and salvation. It's brought home to us again in the words of the absolution, as we humbly receive that assurance of the full forgiveness of all of our sins through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. It is established firmly within us as we receive Jesus' own body and blood in the Lord's Supper, which Jesus gives us for the assurance of that forgiveness of all of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. By the word and the act of our Lord, we are declared crucified, forgiven, totally dead to sin, and alive to God through faith in Jesus. Yet still in ourselves, we must still bear the weight of the flesh, our own sinful nature, our own weaknesses, the pet sins that we wrestle with each day in our lives, and also those sins and weaknesses of our brothers and sisters in faith in Jesus. Perhaps it's difficult for us to really come to grips with this truth of the flesh that all of us are forced to contend with. Just what does it mean to have to contend with the weight of the flesh? Well, it's kind of an awkward way for us to talk. We don't usually talk about the flesh and having to contend with it. We're more likely, more often, to think about the freedom that Jesus has won for us by his death on the cross. Jesus has lifted a heavy burden from our hearts and from our souls, the burden of our sins and our guilt, the punishment that we deserve from God because of our sins. But what does it mean to be free? How can we be certain that in our daily lives we're not simply using the gospel of forgiveness through Jesus as an excuse for not fighting against the evil thoughts and desires that arise within our hearts and within our minds, as well as eliminating or trying to excuse a lack of concern about our brothers and sisters in faith around us? And now carry it one step further. How will we finally be free from the temptation to use the gospel of Jesus as though it were a private word of divine approval to us, a word that encourages us to pursue our own individual ambitions and desires and needs and wants, to the point sometimes of being completely oblivious and unconcerned about the life of the Christian congregation to which we belong, and the life of the world in which we live? The freedom that we have received through Jesus is the freedom of restoration. It is the word of Christ that restores us to God, to be God's people. It's a freedom in which we are restored to the purposes of God, to His will for our lives. It's not a freedom to disregard God's purpose for us and for our lives. It's not a license to close off our hearts and our minds to one another and the needs of each other in this body of Christ. Instead, it's a freedom to look around us, to look at the shape of the body of Christ in this congregation, a congregation of fellow believers, of fellow sinners who have been called together with us to work and to pray for the peace of God upon all of us. The freedom to which we are called is the freedom to hear with one another again the beautiful invitation to be one in Christ, truly united around the message of His forgiveness and salvation, to be united in growing together in holy living, growing up together into the head, Jesus our Savior. And so it is that the Apostle Paul speaks first to those Christians in the region of Galatia and what is now the central part of modern-day Turkey, but also speaking by inspiration of God's Holy Spirit to you and to me, to the congregation gathered together here in Chicago this Sunday morning, to bring before us the real spiritual nature of our relationship to one another here in our own congregation, in this body of Christ. We gather around God's Word and around His sacraments here in our worship service, hearing His Word, praying together, praising God together. But we who have been justified in Christ and set free from guilt and from death and free from the wrath of God, we still bear the weight of the sinful flesh in this present life. And this weight of the flesh shows itself again and again in the sins that we still commit. Our sins are real offenses against God, by which through our own fault we disrupt our relationship with God and we cause problems and put obstacles and stumbling blocks in the paths of others here in God's church. Sin really does put souls in jeopardy, in danger, in danger of damnation to hell. What happens when I fall into sin? In addition to the evil that results in my own life and in the life of the people that I hurt directly, there's also a way in which the whole congregation that I am a part of also bears the weight of my sin. And that's because I, who should have been strong in Christ, have instead been shown again to be weak. And my weakness weakens the whole body of the church. So in the words of verse 1 of our reading from Galatians chapter 6, if you are caught in some sin, then you have fallen when you should have been standing firm. And the rest of the congregation, the other parts of the body of Christ in this place, suffers together with you in your weakness. In order to understand the real significance of this, we must remember that the fellowship that we have in Christ is the same fellowship that the members, the parts of our own bodies share with each other. What happens to one part of our body affects the rest of our body. The hurt of an arm or a leg or an eye never leaves the rest of the body unimpaired. Our whole body, in a sense, feels that hurt and hurts all together with it. When we forget this nature of the Christian church, the body of Christ, of which all of us are members and parts, then we miss the tragedy of sin that weighs upon us all. Unfortunately, the common response to sin is simply indignation or even the temptation to gloat over the shame of a fellow Christian. And if we do that, then the result is now there are two sins where before there was only one. Now two have fallen under the weight of flesh. First my brother or sister who sinned, and then I after him. I too have fallen because my response, seeing that sin, has been far less than loving and far less than realistic about my own spiritual condition. Verse 1 of our reading says, "Brothers, if a person is caught in some trespass, you who are spiritual should restore such a person in a spirit of humility." It's the same humility and gentleness that the Apostle Paul identifies in the previous chapter of Galatians, in chapter 5, as a fruit of the Spirit, something that the Holy Spirit produces in our hearts and lives that ought to show itself in our interactions with each other. We are to restore each other. Just as a doctor might go about the work of setting a bone that has been severely broken and displaced, we are to put things back in right shape and position, bringing order out of disorder, and to provide strength to that which has been seriously weakened by sin. That is the work that our Lord and Savior Jesus has undertaken for us through His incarnation. When He became a human being, He left behind His full majesty and glory and power and honor as the true eternal Son of God, and He came and lived among us sinful people in humility on this earth, among us spiritually fallen and weak and misshapen and dishonorable people because of our sins. The Almighty Lord and God, by whom all things were made and put in order at creation, has come down to us through His humble birth, to a creation that is in a state of rebellion against Him and His will, ruled by disorder and by the prince of chaos, the devil himself. Jesus comes among us to bring us back to God. Jesus is the good physician who sets to work to mend us because we have been broken in our fall from grace. A fall that is far more serious than any mere physical fall and any physical damage that might result from that. Jesus has come to you and to me through the working of the Holy Spirit in His Word and in the means of grace. He has created us anew to be a spiritual people, a people belonging to Him, His very own people, His own body in this world. And now He calls on us to do His own good work in His name for the good of one another. It's a work that He wants us to accomplish, not out of any sense of morals or spiritual superiority, nor with the intention to seek out and point out the failings of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Rather, it's done in gentleness and humility, with the very love that Jesus has so graciously showered on each one of us through His own bitter sufferings and death. This weight of the flesh that we've been discussing is the weight that our Savior Jesus carried on Himself, that He suffered to death on our behalf when He died on the cross in our place. He has borne the full weight of our flesh for us. That's the burden that He carried. And so His cross hangs before us in our sanctuary and in our homes and perhaps around our necks as a perpetual reminder of this blessed truth. The cross stands as a reminder of the words of the Apostle Paul, that it is this cross alone in this cross alone that we may boast, and in nothing else. Upon the cross, Jesus died for us. By this cross, we are totally set free. Free from slavery to sin and from the control of the devil over us. Free so that we may love one another with faithful and thankful hearts. This is the claim of the cross of Jesus upon us today. And in the commandment of love, this cross truly takes shape in our lives. This is the one load that all of us who are called by Christ's name are privileged to carry. It's the cross of Christ that Jesus plants in the midst of our lives as individuals and of our life together as members of this congregation. In order to bear one another's burdens truly as God calls us to, we must first learn to bear with one another in Christ. The pains and the problems, the griefs and the fears, the shortcomings and the failings that afflict us are indeed many, as each of us lives in with different circumstances in our lives. There's poverty of spirit and poverty of possessions that confronts us daily in the interactions that we have with people around us in our lives. And now, says the Apostle Paul, is the time to learn the spiritual dimensions of the body of Christ. Learning when to listen, when to speak, when to pray. Learning the practice of Christian gentleness and patience. Learning to pray and to offer help and encouragement to others in time of need. Learning to share in both tears and in joy here in the communion of saints, the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. Bear one another's burdens, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 2. And Jesus, of course, wrote something related to that topic of bearing a burden when he said in Matthew chapter 11, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Bear one another's burdens. That is the shape of the cross that we are to bear and to carry. In the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told, the Jewish priest and Levite spiritual leaders of the Jewish people avoided their fellow countryman who was beaten half to death and laying there in great need at the side of the road because they were trying to avoid carrying that weight or the burden of the flesh, bearing the burden of their fellow man. We are not to avoid bearing that burden. But we don't carry that burden under our own strength. Without the cross of Christ to support us, earthly and fleshly crosses, the burdens that we bear in life would only crush us and destroy us. But it is here in this congregation of the people of God, the true place of the cross, that we learn the spiritual art of carrying burdens. It's to this place that the Holy Spirit has called us. This is the place of the baptismal font where we were crucified and buried with Jesus and called to faith and to new life in Him. It is to this place that we are drawn again and again to hear and receive the Holy Gospel and the grace of forgiveness, to offer prayers together, to make our sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving together, and to open our eyes to the burdens of others around us. It is to this altar that we bring all burdens, our own and each other's, and at this altar that we receive the heavenly nourishment and strength from the bread and wine together with the body and blood of Jesus, the cup of salvation. These are our responses by which the death of Christ on the cross is proclaimed and brought home to us, the means of grace by which our faith in Jesus is strengthened, which strengthens our shoulders and our knees and our arms to bear those burdens as we walk together toward heaven. The real weight, of course, is borne by our Savior Jesus. And so, as Jesus promised, for us, That yoke is easy and that burden is light because he has ultimately borne the greatest weight of it for us by paying the price for all of our sins. The cross of Christ is the most potent force in all creation for the spiritual welfare and refreshment of all people, for ourselves and for each other. By the cross of Jesus, we are drawn to him and drawn closer to one another in our fellowship, but in the very love that God wills for our common forgiveness, for our growth together, and ultimately for our eternal salvation together, as we look forward to being together with him and with all other believers around his throne in heaven. And so, reflecting God's love for us, let us gladly and willingly bear one another's burdens. Amen.